Today's Between Master and Disciples will be presented in German and English with subtitles in English, Arabic, all axes of Vietnamese, Bulgarian, Chinese, Croatian, Czech, French, German, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Persian, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and Thai. Österreich steuerte in seiner Geschichte als europäische Macht mit seinem kulturellen Umfeld eine Menge zu Kunst und Wissenschaft bei. Österreich ist auch die Geburtsstätte vieler berühmter Komponisten, wie zum Beispiel Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Joseph Haydn, Franz Schubert, Anton Bruckner, Johann Strauss Senior, Johann Strauss Junior und Gustav Mahler. Ludwig van Beethoven verbrachte den Großteil seines Lebens in Wien. Die Österreicher sind spirituelle Menschen und 1867 wurde die Religionsfreiheit als verfassungsmäßiges Recht erklärt. Eine Umfrage von 2005, an der 8000 Menschen aus ganz Europa teilnahmen, zeigte, dass die österreichische Bevölkerung einen sehr starken Glauben an Gott hat. Mit ihrer Liebe zu Gott und ihrem Wissensdurst nach der Erfahrung des Reichs Gottes luden die Österreicher die höchste Meisterin Ching Hai bei mehreren Gelegenheiten in ihr Land ein, um mit ihnen ihre Weisheit und Erkenntnisse zu teilen. Wir laden Sie nun ein, uns auf eine spirituelle Reise zu begleiten. Wir werden die spirituelle Diskussion zwischen der höchsten Meisterin Ching Hai und unseren Vereinsmitgliedern bei einem kürzlichen Retreat in Österreich hören, mit dem Titel »Die Geschichte des wohlhabenden Prinzen« vom 28. Februar 2008 in Österreich.
And Huineng, you know, China, Liu Zhu Huineng, huh? The sixth patriarch, Zen patriarch of China, he also has nothing. He normally go and get wood, you know, and to chop wood, to sell, to take care of his mother. And because he wanted to learn so much, somebody probably, an initiated brother, help him. Say he will take care of his mother, don't worry, the Huineng's mother, and then give him money, everything, so that he can have the means to go to find the master, because it's such a long way to go to China, you know, by horse or by donkey or by foot. He's from Vietnam anyway, yeah, but Chinese Vietnamese is all the same. He's also a very poor person, yeah, he became enlightened, become the sixth patriarch of the Zen Buddhism at that time. And Bodhidharma was a prince. Yeah? And he forsake his princehood, he became a monk. So what I mean is, enlightenment doesn't hang on wealth, position, or poverty. We have everything, right? The Sakyamuni Buddha, he was also a prince. Yeah? See what I mean? Yeah. Whereas Jesus Christ, he was a carpenter. See what I mean? Yes. And all the holy saints in Christian, the 12 apostles, the first 12 apostles, they're fishermen. You see? There's no position, no profession, no wealth, nothing can predict an enlightened person. Future. When the time to come, he will just forsake everything and become initiated and become enlightened. Yeah. Okay. After a time, a friend of his father heard of his new dwelling place and came to visit. Drawn by esteem for his virtue. After expressing the usual friendly concern for his health, the visitor told the ascetic of his love for his father, and there naturally ensued a long conversation, during which the friend said with much affection the following: "Isn't it possible that your reverence acted too impulsively in renouncing the world at such an early age, ignoring both the needs of your family and the importance of continuing your life? What do you hope to gain here in the forest? You can lead a virtuous life in your home just as easily as in the wilderness. Why do you take on this difficult life, striving to incarnate poverty itself? Here you must leave off the arms of strangers who think of you as nothing but a beggar. Covered with rags, stripped of friends and relations, you hide here in the middle of the woods. Even your enemies' eyes would fill with tears to see you in this state." Such a pitiful state, he means. He continued, "Return to your home. You do not need this misery. There you will be able to fulfill both spiritual and familial duties. There you can produce a fine son. After all, if the poor can find the comfort of a castle in their meager huts, how much more comfort can be found in a wealthy residence, resplendent with luxury?" Sounds very nice, yeah? But the Bodhisattva's mind had been purified by the sweet and comforting ambrosia of detachment. In his heart, he knew too well the difference between the life of a householder and the life of an ascetic. It's true like that. I knew it too. I still long for the day when I was free. I am free now, but freer, you know. I'm still nostalgic for those days when I don't have to worry about anything. In his heart, he knew too well the difference between the life of a householder and the life of an ascetic, and the encouragement to enjoy worldly pleasures only made him uneasy. As talk of a lavish meal affects those who are satiated, you know, like somebody already too full and you keep talking about good meal, you know, it means nothing to you anymore, right? Maybe even you didn't eat such a good meal when you just eat like a sandwich or anything, but you full. Gourmet dinner don't taste anything to you and you're not really interested. Once you're full, you don't feel like wanting to eat anymore, right? So he told their visitor thus, "What you have just said was spoken out of sincere affection and therefore does not truly distress me." He replied, "Nevertheless, I beg you not to use the word comfort when speaking of one who lives in the world. The householder's state is like a prison, and whether one be rich or poor, such a life is full of pain. You see, the rich struggle to guard their wealth, and the poor struggle to gain it." Both struggle, it's true. "No comfort exists for either rich or poor, only ill ensues. It is true that a householder can observe the precepts, but a task more difficult is hard to conceive. The householder's life is bound by concern far removed from the Dharma." It's true like that. It is true. Okay. "The householder's life is bound by concern, far removed from the Dharma, meaning the true teaching, yeah? The true practice of spiritual attainment. They call it Dharma. Dharma is not only the teaching, it's a practice of the teaching, yeah, of the true teaching. Concerns which call for a great deal of attention. Consider this. How can the householder refrain from lying, from injuring others, from putting pressure on others? The householder is attached to happiness and cannot but strive to secure it. Yet, if you devote yourself to the Dharma, you must break away from the householder's concerns. So, if you are attached to the home life, how can you achieve the Dharma? It's true like that, you know. You have a big household sometimes, and the people who, you deal with people all day, especially people in your household, they keep telling you things, and then at night when you sit down to meditate, they'll keep replaying again, again, and again. He continued, the way of the Dharma has the taste of tranquility. The way of the householder tastes of busyness and distraction. The householder's life is in opposition to the Dharma. So who among those who truly care for themselves would stay in such a life? Yeah, it's truly like that. The householder is easily tempted to neglect the Dharma. He seeks pleasure by all possible means and soon feels no restraint. Loss of reputation, remorse, and misfortune are sure to follow. Surely the wise are right to avoid a state which seeks pleasure to the detriment of the Dharma. Moreover, I do not see how a householder life would bring joys, for the suffering caused by earning and guarding wealth never ends. The householder is always in danger of being killed, kidnapped, or being subjected to other such terrors. Even a king is no more satisfied by his riches than the ocean is filled by the rain. How can there be happiness in a state where one continually longs for sense objects rather than for self-perfection? One could sooner soothe a wound by rubbing it with salt. Understand? Yeah. The householder life is like is always suffering. And the more you try to seek happiness in it, the more you lose it. It's just like you're already wounded and you rub it on with salt all the time. It's just getting more painful. That's what he means, yeah. Material prosperity makes the householder arrogant. Noble birth makes him proud. That's why you can't get near him. They're too good to be near anyone. So, let alone even to learn spiritual practice or sit at the feet of any master to ask, request for enlightening instruction. Yeah? That's very difficult. Material prosperity makes the household arrogant. Yeah? Noble birth makes him proud. Strength makes him insolent. His anger is aroused by the smallest grief. His adversity brings deepest rejection. So when is there time for tranquility? Yeah, he's trying to prove it. And it's a true, no? Therefore, sir, do not speak against my determination. The house is home to much misery, haunted by the serpents of arrogance, pride, and infatuation. It destroys the possibility of happy tranquility. Who would choose to stay in a place so full of disturbances? In the forest, however, home of those who are content, the mind is calm and detached. Happiness such as this cannot be found even in Chakra's heaven. Chakra is one of the gods at that time, you know? One of those gods in heaven that people really aim to go to, the so-called one of the heavens, yes. Though covered with rags and dependent on strangers, I delight to be here. How could I wish for happiness which is tainted by wrongdoing? It is like food tainted by poison. Here I have gained profound insight into the very heart of being. However, such persuasive words did not fail to impress his father's friend. Showing respect for the great being, he humbly offered him what he could, what he has carried with him. From this story, one can see how those who truly wish to benefit themselves abandon the state of a householder, for they understand that such a state is in conflict with both the Dharma and tranquility. This account is also relevant when discussing the virtue of detachment, to show how those who have once tasted the joy of detachment do not revert to worldly pleasures. Lucky guy, huh? Yeah, that's it. The story ends. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Wir haben uns sehr gefreut über Ihr Dabeisein, heute bei Zwischen Meisterin und Schüler. Bitte bleiben Sie dran, hier bei Supreme Master Television. Für weitere konstruktive Programme, die nun folgen. Bis bald und Gottes Segen sei mit Ihnen. We enjoyed your company today for Between Master and Disciples. Keep your dial tuned here to Supreme Master Television for more constructive programming coming up next. Farewell for now, and God bless.